Hello, and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
If the holidays have left you bloated and swollen, our podcast is the perfect digestif. I start things off with one of the best books I've read in recent months, Home by Marilynne Robinson. If that's still a little heavy for your tum-tums, Crystal has the perfect psychedelic cotton candy antidote, The Mighty Boosh. We end with a roundtable of the year's best and overlooked titles. No food metaphors.
I can't believe you read that.
Home was only the third novel by Marilynne Robinson in 30 years. I think it was definitely worth the wait. Home chronicles the return of prodigal son Jack Boughton to the family farm in Gilead, Iowa. His aged father, Robert, and Glory, Jack's baby sister, now middle-aged, anxiously await Jack's return after 20 years of non-communication. Glory, a former schoolteacher, who by chance or unconscious design has slowly crashed back into Gilead to care for her fading father. That father, the Reverend Robert Boughton, spiritual lighthouse to the town of Gilead for much of his life, is now a wisp of his former self. He clings to life in the small hope he'll once again meet his estranged son. The Lord giveth, Jack returns. Polite but unrepentant of his past transgressions, Jack torments his father by simply being himself, the black sheep of the family. Also a drunk, and perhaps a coward. Glory accepts Jack wholeheartedly, hardened liver and all, while the Reverend Boughton becomes tortured by his life's one failure, his antisocial communist sympathizing son. In case you're thinking you've heard this one before, you've never heard it by a writer as talented as Robinson. In her hands, the sleepy Boughton household becomes a boiler engine of psycho-spiritual pressure. The tension between father and son permeates the house like sunlight. Fate, sin, free will, and the capital F fall are all weapons in the psychic warfare. Robinson illuminates the positive and negative nature of piety with clear, effortless prose. In case you are afraid this is just a book about a bunch of churchies who need a little grease, the characters all have secrets, and there is a surprise ending. The reader and the author always know that rural Iowa in the late 50s is a serious bubble, outside of which are horrors that don't permit the luxury of theological angst. Literati may recognize the Boughtons in the town of Gilead, as it gave the title to Robinson's previous novel, which earned her a Pulitzer Prize. Gilead and Home are companion pieces that take place in the same town in the same time, but inside different households. I can't recommend both books strongly enough. On a personal note, Home is the last book I will get to read with the Second Wednesday Book Club, a reading group I've led here at the library for the past 2 years. To all my book club members, I thank you and apologize for all the pretentious literary crap I've convinced you to read. Though it is sad to have to move on, I think it is good the last book we read together was a book as powerful as Home. And because dislocation is our business, now Crystal has something completely different.
I can't believe you watched that.
Come with us now on a journey through time and space to the world of a public library. Perhaps another podcast. Today, I'm here to share my love for a BBC television series called The Mighty Boosh. The Mighty Boosh is a surreal comedy where the jokes and gags are heavily influenced by popular culture and popular music. Perhaps you haven't heard of The Boosh, but I'm willing to bet you've seen a clip from the show that went viral on YouTube. Does old Greg sound familiar? He's just one of the many outlandish characters that neurotic, jazz-loving Howard Moon and the narcissistic wannabe rock star Vince Noir meet during their adventures on the show. The basic formula of the series: Howard Moon loses, Vince Noir wins. Each episode has at least one song performed by the characters, and often music directly relates to the plot. In the first TV series, Howard and Vince are working as zookeepers. During the second, they share a flat with the shaman Naboo and his ape familiar Balo. The third series finds Howard and Vince working in Naboo's second-hand shop. Co-writers and creators of the show, Julian Barrett and Noel Fielding, met while doing stand-up. After discovering they shared a love for surreal comedy, they decided to become a double act. American Rich Fulcher plays Bob Fossil, the loud-mouthed, imbecile manager of the Zooniverse. Fulcher also portrays other crazy characters and sometimes co-writes with Barrett and Fielding. Fielding's brother Mike plays Naboo, the enigmatic shaman. Dave Brown plays the lovable ape, Balo. Here's a clip from the radio series of The Mighty Boosh, which predates the TV show.
Day 79. Still no sign of the snow leopard. So lonely here. Wind, my only friend.
I hate you.
Shut up, Wind! Shut up!
My final sales pitch. If you're a fan of Monty Python, you'll love The Mighty Boosh. So be sure to place your requests. Not you, non-bread. We have all three series, as well as the radio show, on order for the library's collection.
Pop culturally speaking, a lot of good things came out in 2009. I give as an example both Ellen Hopkins' book, Trix, and the TV show Glee. Miranda Lambert also released her third album, Revolution, in September. The CD is long, containing 15 gut-wrenchingly honest tracks that run the emotional gamut from wistful and nostalgic to downright sarcastic. Take a listen to Dead Flowers, written by Miranda. That track was actually the first single off the album, but it didn't go anywhere at radio, so the label dumped it in favor of her latest single, White Liar. When I saw her play at the Ryman, Miranda said Dead Flowers was probably her favorite song from the album, and I think it's my favorite song of 2009. So, Bill, what you watching?
Well, it has been described as a cross between The X-Files and The Twilight Zone, with a little bit of Altered States thrown in. Now that I have you interested, I'm talking about the cult hit Fringe, which season one is now on DVD and you can check it out at the public library. This science fiction series, co-created by J.J. Abrams, deals with the investigation of fringe science. You know, teleportation, mutations, rare diseases, and transhumans with psychic abilities. Good stuff. The series has a great cast, led by Anna Torv, and if you can start with the pilot episode, that would be best, because the pilot kicks the rest of the series into high gear. So enjoy. Crystal, what you got?
My favorite album of the year comes from UK band The Wild Beasts, and it's called Two Dancers. If you've never heard The Beasts, musically imagine Tiny Tim, Morrissey, and the Talking Heads teaming up to become a band. That gives you a ballpark idea of their sound. Lead singer Hayden Thorpe's theatrical falsetto, alternated with bassist Tom Fleming's rich baritone voice, is genius. Here's a clip from a track called All the King's Men. indie art pop delight. So, what 2009 book can't you live without, Brian?
The Romanian-born Andrei Codrescu is probably best known for being an NPR commentator, but he is also a prolific novelist, poet, and travel writer. Last year, he put out a strange little book called The Post-Human Dada Guide, Zara and Lenin Play Chess. The book is a bizarro meditation on the influence of the Dada movement during the age of the Internet. Lenin represents order, and Zara represents chaos. Guess who wins? I thought it was too unclassifiable for me to do a long review on earlier in the year, but the book is also an irreverent history of Dada, a biography in Lenin, a history of the Internet, and an appreciation of Romanian Jews within the international avant-garde. Dadaist in spirit, Codrescu tosses in nuggets of misinformation, too, to snag and bewilder lazy readers. And what I think particularly great about this book is, for whatever reason, we have the book cataloged in our library's fiction, even though it's not. It's a historical essay. But I never bothered to tell anyone. I just left it as fiction because I thought it was really in spirit with the work.
You've been listening to Nashville Public Library's Pop-Matic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.